Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Mac Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Happy Mother's Day to all the women out there, all the moms of whatever you choose to be a mom of, because every woman is a mom or mother of something.
I feel badly that I'm making the two of you come in and do a radio show.
So Mac brings in two moms to work on Mother's Day.
Well,
this is what we do.
I was going to say, though, maybe this is time off from all the other hard things.
It is fun. I love it. Yes. Yes. We have Pam Parks here, a good friend of mine. She is also with Albrecht Public Accounting. And we're going to learn all about her. All about her.
Great.
She's so excited. She's like, I don't know why I signed up for this, Alana.
You harassed her to come,
didn't
you?
I really did. Sort of. Yes.
Blink twice if you're here under duress and you need to be rescued.
Well, in all honesty, too, she said no.
Oh,
right? She did. Yeah, she's like, she's nodding. Yeah,
I did.
How many times? I'm excited that somebody said no to Alana.
Well, what I typically get asked to talk about my job, which would be taxes. And I was like, Alana, no one wants to hear about taxes. So I'm not going to talk about taxes.
Well, it's a month past, so it's okay.
I know.
We can talk about it.
Because tax season is only one day a year, right, Pam?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, see, she's taught me. I've learned.
Well, it's one day.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
We are done. She is not done.
Yeah.
All right. So this is going to be action-packed. We didn't talk about it last week.
We didn't.
The big Astoria High School prom was up at the Common.
Yeah. Was it glorious?
It was.
The weather was perfect.
It was perfect. There was a big giant tent and it didn't blow over or anything. And I'm to understand they had 350 kids.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Pam?
It was the most busiest.
Well, my husband's attended. A teacher at the high school.
Was he there? Did he chaperone?
He did not chaperone. He was almost going to go up and just visit to check it out.
Right.
But the pictures are amazing. And I heard the kids all had a really good time.
Oh, it looked, I think of the memories that this class is going to have. It was perfect.
Yeah. Underwritten by the Friends of Astoria column and an anonymous donor.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So the kids all went for free.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Right? So junior, senior prom at the Column. Perfect day.
Once in a lifetime, it's never going to happen again.
Because you're amazing. You're saying no.
Maybe for like the 150th. No. Oh. Just because it was only because it was the 100th.
It's 100.
The 100th anniversary.
Oh.
So maybe like 125 or maybe 150. But
you know, when do our girls graduate?
I don't even know.
30, yeah, I don't want to do that math.
34?
If it's like the anniversary.
It's not 100
like
years.
No.
Peter Iredale or something, you can have it out on the beach.
Ooh, we'll have to start looking. Okay.
So
all right.
You'll have to find something.
Let's get to business.
All right, let's get to business. So the other thing coming up in a few weeks here, the Short Circuit 40th anniversary and the Goonies 41st. So it's Johnny Five and Friends. We've got all kinds of folks coming.
You too. You ended up getting really good cast.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting. So we'll talk about that more in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But as always, June 5th, 6th, and 7th.
I won't forget.
Yeah. Okay. But the big history highlights, things that happen tomorrow. So as always, icebreakers, breakfast conversation, water coolers, if there's still such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, has it gone into our vocabulary, like talking around the water bottle?
Oh.
With your water bottle.
It doesn't slide off the tongue quite so easily.
It does not, but it should.
Right? I don't know.
I mean, how many places of business even still have like a water cooler or water?
I don't know. I mean,
because even water fountains are disappearing.
Well, we do. We have a central like
big water cooler?
Yeah, water cooler that people go fill up their water bottles at.
Oh, see?
So it's not one of the like blue bubbly water, you can see the water.
Yeah, so when you put the big things in.
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah.
I miss the little cone cups that used to come with them sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
So you can't sit it down anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Have your drink water and you get back to work.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you're at Albrecht Public Accounting tomorrow, you can go.
Cool, refreshing water.
Talk about this water cooler chatter.
Yeah.
All right. So these are things that happen tomorrow, May 11th, 1659. And we've actually mentioned this once before, but in the context of a larger story that we were doing, 1659, the Massachusetts Bay Colony passes a law banning Christmas.
Oh.
Forbidding, quote, feasting and similar satanic practices with a penalty of 5 shillings. And of course, back a few years earlier, that was 1659, 1621, the Plymouth Colony governor had personally confiscated toys.
Ooh.
Because, you know, once again, the myth of the pilgrims are all about religious freedom.
Right.
No, right. They are not. They are about the right for them to practice their own religion and not let anybody else practice theirs.
Right.
So no Christmas or feasting or similar satanic practices.
Ugh.
Way to go, pilgrims.
Right. Yeah.
All right. 1812. The waltz is introduced into English ballrooms.
Ooh, that's nice.
Do either of you know how to dance the waltz?
No, but I could learn. I'm guessing you do.
I do know how to dance the waltz, but yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be on any shows.
Well, that's probably good because this is 1812. Some observers consider it disgusting and immoral.
Oh. In 1812.
I don't have to be dancing the waltz for somebody to say that.
Right.
All right. 1858. Minnesota enters the Union.
Welcome to the party.
As the 32nd state. You know, I think I would really like Minnesota, but I've not spent any time there.
Me either. Minnesota.
They've got more coastline than anywhere else because of all the lakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right. I wouldn't have guessed that. That's a good trivia.
I almost went on a canoe trip there once, but ended up not going.
Okay.
All right. Nothing on Minnesota?
Nope.
Okay. 1947, the B.F. Goodrich Company announces the development of tubeless tires.
Pretty cool. Less blowouts, maybe?
Pretty cool, yeah. That was almost going to be my history highlight. 1960, the high-ranking Nazi official Adolf Eichmann is captured. Yeah, you can't get away. It did for a while, but yeah. 1960.
Good
for the Israelis. All right, 1969. British comedy troupe Monty Python forms. Are we fans?
No.
I didn't think you were going to
No.
All right. There's some funny stuff there. All right, it's just a flesh wound. 1981, reggae star Bob Marley dies at 36.
Mm.
I like Bob Marley.
Oh.
I'm not a huge reggae
fan. Doesn't.
Fan,
but yeah.
Well, I'm
yeah.
sure there's somebody.
Oh, not in this room.
Didn't somebody shoot him?
Oh, did they?
I can't remember.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Didn't know that.
But that was 1981. But our history highlight of the day, I think had the most impact on history, and this is a selfish one just for local here at the mouth of the Columbia River.
Okay.
1792, the Columbia River is discovered, and I am using air quotes,
okay.
Discovered and named by U.S. Captain Robert Gray, the Columbia Redivia.
Pretty cool. Okay.
So.
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a big one.
Probably not the biggest thing in the world, but for us here.
But for us here. And the naming of it, the name that has stayed.
We would call the river something else completely.
Right. Oh,
so there we
cool.
go. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. Do you think you missed anything? No.
Not that I know.
So you know who else doesn't miss anything, especially when she's doing taxes?
Is Pam Parks with Albrecht Public Accounting.
Did you like that segue?
Yeah, love it. Love it.
Feel free to like use that clip in advertising or something.
Okay. She's like, Alana, we weren't going to talk about taxes. Yeah. And all we've talked about so far is taxes. Well, let's go back in time. And let's start with growing up here. Well, tell us where you grew up and a little bit about what life was like.
Yeah, I grew up here in Clatsop County. I was born in Astoria and then raised in Gearhart Seaside area.
So, yeah. And what schools did you go to?
I went to Gearhart Elementary. I was an Eagle.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to Broadway Middle School and then Seaside High School.
So none of them are still there. None of those schools are still open.
Oh, yeah. They've all
in
relocated.
Their buildings.
Yeah.
Are you the common denominator in that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Seaside and Gearhart, did you live in one town and then live in the other, or just because they're so close to each other?
Well, the schools merged
okay.
in the sixth grade. So
where is your house actually located when you're a kid?
Yeah. My parents' house is over in like the West Lake area.
Okay. So we're fascinated because we've talked to a lot of people that grew up in Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you hanging out as a kid? Where are you riding your bike to? Or where are you getting into mischief?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I mean, in high school, if you had some time, you'd always want to like cruise down by the cove to see, you know, was anyone parked at the cove or any surfing, you know, you wanted to check that out. And then you always drove around to various people's houses who you kind of knew people were probably hanging out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also drove to Warrington to go dance.
I drove to Warrington. I grew up dancing at Maddox Dance Studio and then participated in Little Ballet Theater. I played soccer for Lower Columbia Youth Soccer Association.
Oh, interesting.
Did T-ball with Seaside Kids. Kind of all the things. I was a campfire girl.
What's a campfire girl? Yeah. Is that Girl Scouts?
Well, no. It's kind of like Brownies.
Okay.
Yeah, Girl Scouts type thing, but it's campfire girls.
Yeah.
And where do you go for that?
Oh, it was just at someone's house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking like Camp Kawanalong or we went to the Rocky Mountains. Or...
We did spend a night at Camp Kawanalong, which was like the highlight. Okay. And instead of selling cookies, we sold candy. But yeah, it was a good time.
So as you're trying out all of these different activities, let's just start with dance, because I still see that love of dance in you still, and of course your daughters. What were you drawn to, or who did somebody just pluck you in a class to begin with, or did you beg your mom to put you in?
I think my mom just put me in class.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun. I liked being up on stage and I met a lot of really good friends through that, performed in the Nutcracker, which is, you know, a great production even to this day, and just really enjoyed the camaraderie with all the girls, and yeah, it's a good time.
And so where were you performing the Nutcracker at that point? Because we just celebrated 50 years. We did a history of the Nutcracker last fall. Where were the locations when you were in it?
Was Astoria High School.
It was already at high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't have all the fancy backdrops.
Okay.
That was like just kind of coming into play when I did it. But
so it was just the costumes.
Yeah. And well, there was a couple backdrops and then there was no orchestra. It was a tape recording.
Yes.
And then we all traveled as a company out to Pendleton and danced one year with the symphony out there, which was a big deal.
I bet.
Yeah.
It seems an odd choice, Pendleton instead of Portland First or something.
But they had a symphony.
Yeah. I don't know how it got chosen, but I do remember we had one of those big fancy coaches.
Oh. Ooh.
And we all drove that on the bus, you know, and that was super fun. It's a long drive, but it was a good time.
What was your favorite role?
Oh, I would say I liked to be a Spanish dancer and a lady in waiting.
Okay. Yep. I like those two. Did you ever want to be Clara?
Oh, of course. I think okay. At one point you always want to be Clara, but it was not in the cards for me.
Okay. Yeah, no. It's not for everybody. It is like one of those ideal roles, but I still see the girls seeing and saying, but you don't get to dance as much.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a bystander role. It's the main role, but you don't dance the most by any means.
Yeah, but you get all the attention.
You do get all the attention.
Yeah.
I know.
So it's really about which do you want? Do you want to dance or do you want the attention?
Yeah,
I know. And they're all girls that want to be on stage. So yeah. So that does happen.
Yeah.
So
what did your parents do that you ended up in the career that you ended up in?
Well, my dad is my business partner. He's an accountant. So the first year that he went out and started his own practice was the year that I was born.
Oh, wow.
I know. And my birthday is March 31st. So in the middle of his first tax season on his own, he has, you know, his first child. I can't even like comprehend that right now. But and then my mom stayed home and just I call her like our, you know, household management. She was a professional mom. She's just the best.
She's still all over the place, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Still, like, shuttling kids to and from. And
yeah. She gets my kids, like, the best snacks after school.
Doing all the things.
And runs them to different places. They want to be with her all the time. And, yeah, she just showers them with love and attention. And, yeah, she's a professional.
So when or what did you want to be an accountant, like, from –
No.
Oh, okay. So let's do this. Yeah.
No. Yeah. In fourth grade, I wanted to be a corporate attorney.
Okay. That fits.
Then I figured, oh God, that's a lot of schooling. That didn't sound good. So then when I was in college, I had to make the decision of what area I need to focus in. And so I was looking at management and marketing. And I had a conversation with my dad, and he said, well, you know, no matter what area of business you go into, you have to know the numbers. And I, you know, I'm 20 something and I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So I just went into accounting because of that.
Oh, my goodness. Thinking that you weren't going to go into a career, but you were going to use it.
Exactly.
Okay. So back the truck up here. Had you ever like worked summers or after school in your dad's office? Had you messed around with accounting at all, or had you taken any high school classes in it, or did you just at college switch to taking a bunch of accounting classes?
It was all really in college. I mean, when I was little, I'd go to the office and like answer the phone, mm-hmm. you know, which I thought was pretty cool, of course. But then, I took my first like real accounting classes in college and thought the tax was actually kind of interesting. And then while I was in college, the requirements for the CPA exam changed. They changed from 120 hours of education to 150. So here I am about to graduate, and I can't sit for the CPA exam unless I have another year of college. And so I'm like, oh, God, what am I going to do? So I ended up Googling, a master's in international tax, and I found the University of Sydney. And so I went and got my master's in international taxation at the University of Sydney, and it was really
Australia?
In Australia.
I did not know this.
You didn't?
You are genius.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And so it was, I took a class there called Comparative Income Tax. Sounds super dorky, but it was really interesting. And that's kind of what hooked me.
Oh my goodness. But it had to be international because you Googled that, or you looked it up. You looked up programs. You knew you weren't going to do one more year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hadn't studied abroad, and I really wanted to study abroad when I was in college, but I didn't because of, you know, the guy that I was dating. Unfortunate choice, but that's what I did. So I was no longer dating that guy. And so I was like, okay, in a perfect world, I want to go overseas and I want to learn about taxes so that I can qualify to sit for the CPA exam. And lo and behold, University of Sydney popped up.
So I'm going to skip around here because we'll get back to Garrett at some point. But you do, this love of travel has stayed with you and your family. And explain or share a little bit about what you guys do every single summer.
Yeah, we move out of our house. Our house is in Gearheart, and we move out and we rent it for the summer months, while we live with my parents part of the time. And then we also travel.
And you travel internationally and nationally.
Yeah. So we had an RV for about 4 years. We traveled all over the States, took it cross country to Key West and back. And then we got rid of the RV because that's a lot of work.
Yes.
And we've taken several international trips. Yeah.
Was it the trip to Florida that like did it in? Because, I mean, I just remember the weather, too, like, was hot, and you had all the bugs, and was that the last year of the RV?
No, the
or
last
did you have one
year,
more?
We had one more. Okay. We had one more. Yeah, it was, you know, the girls started getting bigger, and yeah. So the space got tighter, and so, yeah.
But
and
Florida does that to everybody.
I know. Well, and when she told me about it, too, like, I didn't know her that well then. I was just like, ooh, an RV in Florida just sounds like you want, like, a big space with air conditioning, not a small space. In the summer months,
yeah. Yeah. And we pulled up to the Everglades, and there was no one around. And we're like, oh, this isn't good. And we're parked there, and all of a sudden these bugs just start popping up on the window. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Garrett, I don't think we can do this. Because we were going to step out of the vehicle and just get attacked by mosquitoes and stuff.
Yeah. And then they would have been in your RV. Oh, I know.
Horrible.
Yeah. Nightmare.
I don't even have to bag on Florida.
I know.
Y'all are doing it for
me. I'm not an ad for Florida.
And once again, my brother lives there, so that's why I'm allowed to make fun of Florida.
There, and I lived there too, so yes. So talk about the international trips, because those have been fun too. So what is the one that you just really just blew your mind away from your expectations?
Oh, gosh. With the kids or without kids?
Either one.
Either.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. China. When I was in college, I ended up going to China and visiting the guy I was dating at the time actually got a job in China. And so I went, and it would have been a better trip if it wasn't with him, but it was great. We saw, you know, the Great Wall, the Forbidden City, the Terracotta Warriors. It was, the history there is amazing. Just very different culture from here. So it was all just very eye-opening. And then you go to buy, you know, that my boyfriend at the time was like, oh, we should have a custom suit made. This, you know, it'll be so cheap. Go get a custom suit made. And I'm like, I don't know about this. He's like, no, do it. So we go to get this suit made. Well, these Chinese women are tiny. They're a lot tinier than me. So all of a sudden they're like, oh, we need in the double XL size. And I'm like, oh, this is not for me. I do not like this. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Just sew three together.
I know. Yeah.
not good for the ego at all.
No, it was horrible.
What year was the China trip?
2004.
Oh, okay. Just trying to figure out what the relationship between China and the US was at the time.
And what yeah. did yeah, what good. Started your trips? Was this, did you and Garrett start the trips as a couple during the summer? Did you wait until you had the girls?
Well, the summer travel with our family started because when we first had the girls, we didn't have a lot of money. And I was like, we need to earn some extra money. We need to build up this savings account. And so we started renting out the house, and we were able to earn enough to, you know, travel a little bit, and then also save up some extra money for, you know, an emergency fund. And so that's how it started.
And he's a high school Spanish teacher, mm-hmm. and your kids are in school too, obviously. So they are off for summer break, but you keep working even though you get to travel.
I do, yes. So I work. I have worked in all kinds of conditions. I've sat in the RV just sweating bullets as I'm sitting there on my laptop. And yeah, it's been, but yeah, that's what we do.
And what do your kids think of it? What has it offered them?
I think my kids have mixed emotions. Like right now we're in the process of moving out of the house, and so they have to take down all the stuff in their room. Mm-hmm. And so right now their room is like their personal space. And so to ask them to take it down is like just demoralizing, right? They're like, oh, why do we have to do this? But then at the same time, I think when we get on the road, we have so many fond memories that they like getting out and seeing new things. They like, you know, experiencing gelato and, you know, just different foods. And they like the us time, just the four of us together, mm-hmm. and no other distractions. So, yeah, I think that's what they enjoy most.
I've never heard any complaints.
And then you get to redecorate your room at the end of the summer.
You do.
Yeah, you have to move back in.
Sounds like a little bit of a win.
And you choose May to move out, like the busiest month of the year. But it's because you have to hit that June 1.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And then also, since my husband's a high school teacher, he goes to graduation, which is the first weekend. So June is actually very busy for us too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when somebody rents your house, are they renting it for the entire summer, or is it weekend, week at a time? What's the deal with that?
We turn it over to a property management company. And to be honest, I just have to kind of turn it over and like walk away from it. So it's in their hands at that point. They usually do short-term rentals, and
I've looked it up. You can rent by the week, or, you know, I mean, it's a lovely home. It's great for families because it's so close to the beach. So it's like Airbnb. It's sort of the same deal of if you're going to get one.
Okay. Well, I want to back up because you jumped right into it. I want to back up to international accounting or tax in Sydney. So have you ever used any of that?
I did. I started my career at a regional firm in Arizona, and I was in the international tax department. And so, I worked there for 2 years in that realm. And then I unfortunately had a real witch of a manager and decided to move back and start working with my dad.
So at what point did you start thinking you were going to work with your dad? Like when you were in Sydney, at that point where you're like, well, eventually I'll take over my dad's business. Was that even on your mind?
No, not at all. I was like, when I left to go to college, I was like, I'm never coming back here. You guys better get used to getting on a plane to come see me. And it was when I was working for the firm in Arizona. I just, like I said, the manager was just not good. And I was like, why? Like, I need a good manager, someone to mentor me. And what better person to mentor me than my own dad?
So talk a little bit about accounting itself, because I took some high school
this
accounting.
This is what she didn't want to do, Mac.
Well, no.
That's why he's asking just, the question.
Interesting.
Bear with me for a second. There's a method to my madness
okay.
here. I took high school accounting. I took some college accounting. I have always enjoyed the numbers. I love statistics.
Yeah.
But if there's a young kid out there that is thinking about it, is the math skill more important, or is it attention to detail that's more important? What do you have to like to be a good accountant?
I think to be a good accountant, you have to like the numbers, obviously, because there is some, you know, analytics there that you have to do. You have to like communicating with people and being very patient, because not everyone is going to absorb, you know, if you explain something one way, they may not get it. So you have to be ready and willing to explain it three other ways until they actually get it.
And you're still learning. And I can out that she is my accountant. and, you know, I had some life changes last year with my dad passing away. And I do have a brother with a disability. And I brought all these to her. I remember walking in, I had like three different folders, like my taxes, my dad's, and information for my Aaron, on Aaron. And I just sat down and I started crying. And we had like a 30-minute meeting. I don't think I said anything. And this is all new to her too, right? Because she's never met these people. She's never talked to them. We can't find everything. And so then she has to do all this research on it and to do it right. I mean, that takes a specific skill set too. I mean, I think that it's very valid that you have to go to college and take these tests because, it takes a lot.
They're little puzzles, and so you get to figure out the puzzle, which is really interesting.
And then that April 15th deadline, not everybody, you know, some people think it's really like April 14th, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I just kidding. I mean, that would just drive me bonkers.
Yeah, deadlines make people crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they think that the deadline is for them, not realizing, like, you actually have to meet that. Like, you need to have the time to finish the papers, right?
Yeah. There's that whole component too. It's like you can't bring in your information on the 14th and expect me to be sitting there waiting for you
on the next one. So tell us, I know that you and your husband too have a cute meet cute story. So tell us how you guys
got together. Well, I moved back and my brothers were still, I have two younger brothers. They were still in high school at the time. And so my brother was playing football and Garrett was coaching him. And so Garrett actually asked one of the high school kids, hey, can you introduce me to Brian's sister after one of the games? And then we got talking about travel and the rest is history. So.
And you guys have a real shared passion for travel.
We do. We do. We absolutely love it. We both went on school trips to overseas when we were in high school, not together, but separately. And that really just planted the seed for travel.
I love it.
So in 25 seconds, what keeps you here with all that travel? What keeps you staying here in Clatsop County?
This is a good home base for us, and both of our parents are here.
That's lovely. Well, I'm glad because I get to be one of Pam's friends and in her circle, and our girls do adore each other. So thank you so much for making this your home base.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And for joining us on the show. Was it okay?
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.